Welcome to our podcast, Raising the Aviation Bar, a Eurocontrol podcast that explores the stories of the people who are transforming European aviation from the ground to the sky.
Hello, my name is Anita Zech, and you're listening to the Eurocontrol Raising the Aviation Bar podcast, in which we talk to people who are driving forward change and making big improvements in European aviation. In this episode, we're talking to Luis Gallego, CEO of International Airlines Group, IAG. IAG is one of the world's largest airline groups and the parent company of airlines such as Aer Lingus, British Airways, Iberia, LEVEL, and Vueling. The group flies to 268 destinations and carried around 95 million passengers in 2022. Luis Gallego took over as CEO of IAG in 2020 after a wide-ranging career in the aviation industry, including the Spanish Air Force, Indra, Air Nostrum, Vueling, and Iberia. Mr. Gallego, welcome to the Eurocontrol Raising the Aviation Bar podcast, and thank you for hosting us here at IAG's London office.
Thank you very much.
You grew up in Getafe, yes, which is part of Madrid. Can you tell us a bit about your upbringing and how you came to be where you are today?
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to join you in Raising the Aviation Bar podcast. It's great to take part of this new initiative. And to be honest, Getafe has a big influence on me. Getafe is known as the cradle of the Spanish aviation, and even the insignia of the city has planes. So my father and the major part of my family, they work for the aeronautical industry, and I live near to the one of the first Spanish air bases, and also close to the manufacturer Casa, that now is Airbus. So in my house, I could breathe aviation every day.
So basically, did you want to work in aviation already as a little boy?
Yes, I think when you are from Getafe, it's an option that you always have.
Okay. You've had a long-standing career in aviation with positions of steadily increasing responsibility in a number of companies such as Aer Nostrum, Vueling, Iberia, and now your group CEO. So what makes the airline industry so special for you?
Okay, I think aviation is a very dynamic industry. So every day is totally different, and you can have a lot of very interesting roles inside aviation. So I started, for example, working as an engineer, but after that I went to Aer Nostrum, Clic Air, and Vueling, and finally I was asked to launch Iberia Express. So when I was there, they offered me also the job of running Iberia. And finally, as you said before, in 2020, they asked me to lead IAG. So now, after three very difficult years, things are getting better. And for me, it's a privilege and an honor to run this group. And the truth is that in every step of my career, I have been surrounded for great people and great teams. So aviation, what I like is that you have people from very different backgrounds. You have technicians, cabin crew, engineers, cleaners, pilots, ground staff. And when you put all these people together with a shared goal, you don't have limits in what you can imagine and in what you can achieve. So that's what makes aviation so special for me.
So the people, that's it for you. And I think it's also a good actually introduction to my next question, because you have a reputation as someone who maintains good relationships, not just with staff, but you're also not afraid to make changes, cut costs, drive efficiency forward. How do you manage to get that balance right between the needs of the business and the needs of staff?
Okay, when I started working as an engineer, I understood the importance of teamwork. So there is no rule to be a leader, but I am very convinced that what makes the difference in the airlines, but in general in all the industries, is people. So when people are committed to a project, you can achieve everything. So in my time, for example, in Iberia, We transformed the company from being one of the most unpunctual airlines in the world in 2013. We became the most punctual airline in less than 3 years. And we did that with the same people, the same excellent professionals. But the difference was that we had a common objective, and then we could make the difference. Of course, is to have the people engaged, you need to have the right environment. And I think communication is key to explain what are the objectives, why you are doing the things, and then they understand that you are going to have opportunities in the future if you do the right work.
One challenge many companies are facing today is recruiting and retaining young people. Now, many airline jobs actually require physical presence, whereas other sectors can offer more balance. What strategies do you think are most efficient for attracting and retaining top talent?
I think it's important to have a business where the people they want to work. And I think aviation is a business where you realize that you do something useful for the world. We always say that aviation is a force for good, and I think it is true. So our purpose in IAG is connect people, businesses, and countries. And I think we need aviation to power economies, to enable trade, to connect everything. So you need also exciting brands and exciting businesses. In the group, we have leading airlines in Spain, the UK, in Ireland, and also best-in-class non-airline businesses. So we can offer to the people different locations, different working cultures. And of course, we have a wide range of roles in aviation. So across all IAG companies, you have a lot of opportunities from pilots, cabin crew, engineers, people with digital experience, etc. And then you have the opportunity to develop a career path. So for example, we have graduate programs, and you can start from when you are a cadet, and then you can work in the company all your career. So it's a good starting point for young people. We want also to develop careers, for example, for women, and we have different initiatives. And in Iberia, we have one initiative called Quiero Ser program, I want to be. And we have 36 teenage girls that they can learn about professions such as maintenance technician or pilot or aeronautical engineer. So all that I think is very interesting, and we can offer a very diverse and inclusive work environment.
So basically, so encouraging diversity and inclusion is one of the values. Because my next question is, what values and principles are most important to you? This was just one example. But how else do you get your team and organization on board?
I don't like to define myself. I think it's more important what others they think about you. But what I can say is that at IAG, we have core values that enable us to fulfill our purpose in some way. No? So team working, as I said before, is very important. Commitment, care for people, to have a DNA of continuous change, to challenge the status quo, to have also a culture of efficiency and execution, to have ambition and to be resilient, because in this business you need to be resilient. The last 3 years are a clear example that you need that value. And I think communication must be very clear about our vision and our strategy in order to align the people and the leaders around the project.
While doing my research for this interview, I read that football is important to you and that you are an active supporter of one of the biggest Spanish football teams. Do you think there's something we can learn from sports in terms of leadership and values?
Yes. Football is one of my passions, and I support Real Madrid and also Getafe. But you know that Real Madrid is a very successful football team. So teamwork is very important in football and is very important in aviation. If anyone thinks that they can assemble a huge aircraft or to run an airline alone, it's impossible. They are wrong. In aviation, you need teamwork continuously. So I think we can learn some things from sport. For example, the importance of having a shared vision and a very strong culture. To have a high-performing team where each member knows their role, and then they contribute to the major objective. And I think, as I said before, the importance of being resilient. And I think Real Madrid, you always have the culture of never giving up and never surrender. So I always say that I like in my team people like Luka Modric, that is one player that make the others play. I don't like stars that they score 60 goals, but they only play for their glory. So people that make the team play is what I want.
Okay, real team players.
Yeah.
Turning to your role at IAG, it's a large company with many brands under its umbrella. How do you ensure that staff understand that each brand has its own identity and values while still working together to achieve a common goal?
We have a decentralized business model that is unique and has shown that helped to develop hubs and to develop airlines. So each airline maintains the cultural identity, the brand, the customers, the P&L and accountability, and also we have different management teams. But the good thing is that every week the CEOs of the different airlines, we have a meeting where we share ideas, we share best practices, and then you have also like internal competition, no? Between us, because we want to be the best. So capital allocation has been also critical in this model. We determine where to invest our capital, depending on the return that we are going to have. And at the group level, we only do the things that we consider can improve the performance of the different airlines. So for example, we have a procurement that we do at group level or fleet. But in general, I think this model gives freedom to the airlines to manage the company in the way they consider more convenient.
You set out a strong vision for ensuring that IAG and its businesses can be carbon neutral by 2050. Now, these include bringing in new technology, new aircraft. What new technologies are you most excited about?
Okay, we are investing, first of all, a huge amount of money in new aircraft that they can save between 20 and 40% of the fuel, depending on narrow body or wide body. But we are continuously looking at ways to improve our operation and the fuel efficiency. I think one initiative that we are always pushing, and I think is very linked to Eurocontrol, is the Single European Sky. I think it's an initiative that we could save around 10% of fuel and CO2, and it's something that we can do it, I wouldn't say easily, but faster than other initiatives. We are also investing in other technologies, for example, hydrogen aircraft or carbon capture technologies. But what is clear is that in the short and medium term, SAF is going to play a critical role in decarbonizing our activities. So we need to develop a SAF industry in Europe as soon as possible. In our group, we expect that 70% of our fuel is going to be SAF-based by 2050. And we are investing a lot in SAF. Currently, we have invested $865 million in future purchases And I think with that, we have 25% of the needs that is going to be required by 2030. So we participate also in some alliances in UK and in Spain. For example, here in UK with the Jet Zero Council, and in Spain with the Alianza por la Sostenibilidad del Transporte Aéreo. And we are also now trying to have a similar initiative in Ireland, supported by the Irish government. So I think what we need is that the governments, they have a regulation that allow investment in SAF. I think we have the mandate, but what we need is SAF. And I think that we need a regulation based on incentives and not only based on a stick.
I read that you aim to replace 60% of the current short-haul fleet by 2028 as part of IAG's sustainability drive. Now, sustainability is going to cost the industry money, and at the same time, inflation and staff costs are going up as well. How do you think that this can be balanced against the need to keep tickets affordable?
I think the decarbonization is going to be very expensive for the industry. Flying is going to be more expensive. So SAF today is between 3 to 5 times more expensive than jet fuel. And that's one of the reasons that we need to be more efficient, all the airlines. So we launched a transformation plan at a group level and also in the different airlines in order to improve the efficiency, because as we said, the costs are going to be higher. So other aspect that is going to be critical is scale. In order to compete in a global market and in order to manage all this sustainability cost that we are going to have, I think consolidation is going to be very important in Europe. We are now, as you know, in the middle of the acquisition of Air Europa. And I think to have a scale is going to be a critical issue for the future.
What you said earlier, I mean, it's very obvious that you are significantly investing in sustainability. But still, many people have criticized the aviation industry for not doing enough to combat climate change. What would you say to those critics?
I think the aviation industry is fully committed to decarbonize aviation. For example, IAG, before any mandate, we were the first group worldwide to commit to net zero emissions by 2050. And we were the first group in Europe to commit to 10% of SAF by 2030. And the industry has a decarbonization plan. In 2016, ICAO, they launched CORSIA, that is the first global market-based measure in any sector. Also, you know that in the 77 IATA annual general meeting, there was also a commitment to achieve net zero emissions by 2050 for all the airlines. And in Airlines for Europe, we develop Destination 2050, that is a possible pathway that combines new technologies, improved operations, and sustainable aviation fuel in order to achieve the objective. So we don't need to be convinced. We don't need more mandates. What we need is SAF.
Moving on from sustainability towards air traffic. Summer 2022 was difficult for everyone in aviation, with extensive delays and cancellations that massively impacted passengers, while 2023 has been different. What has the industry done to improve passengers' experience? And what do you think is most important as we prepare for air traffic in summer 2024?
Across the group, this year, at the end of Q3, we hired 10,000 people. So we have enough employees to support the operation. Also, we develop an investment plan to improve our systems and to increase the resilience. And the summer was better, But still, we had some challenges, for example, in the ATC, and you know the problem with ATC in France and the strikes that we have there. And here in UK, we also had a difficult situation with the NATS during the summer. But in general, summer was better, and I think than the previous year. And I think if we can improve the ATC issues, and we continue with our plans, next summer is going to be better.
We're coming slowly towards the end of our podcast. Turning to the future again, imagine our listeners or their children are wondering whether to pursue a career in aviation. How would you convince them to take that first step?
I think working in aviation is exciting, and every day is different. It's a very dynamic business. When you work in aviation, you discover the world. You work with people from different places, cultures, religions, and as I said before, every day you are learning and every day is different. And the aviation has a very positive impact socially, economically, and culturally to the society. So we have the challenge that we talked before about decarbonizing aviation, and I think we need new people coming to the industry to help us to lead these initiatives. We have a roadmap, but as we said, we need to invest in new technologies in order to achieve the net net zero emissions by 2050. So, if you like to work in team, and if you want to have a very challenging environment where you are going to have the latest technology and you are going to enjoy every day, I think aviation is a good place.
Thank you, Mr. Gallego, for your time and sharing your insights.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to our listeners for joining. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe.
Raising the aviation bar from the ground to the sky.